Good evening. I want you throughout this lesson to keep that last song in your mind. That mansion just over the hilltop where we'll never grow old. That's the goal. That's what we're striving for. Jenna and Ryan fed me supper last night. I told Jenna I had to leave, and I had my sermon ready, but I wanted to get my opening remarks ready. And she said, "Mr. Larry, you've got 7 pages of notes. You don't need any opening remarks." But just a few. It's not going to be a long sermon, maybe. But I see a lot of things going on in this congregation. A lot of good things. A lot of little things. Things that people don't do to be seen. Just for example, the other day I was coming to work. Lila was out here putting the new message on the sign. Well, she had Max with her. And Lila's walking through the churchyard, you know, looking good, smiling. I honked and waved. Woo! Max has got all the letters. He can't. Because you can't, you know, hold those things with one hand, and you don't dare drop them because you got them in order. So thank you. Thank you to all of you. Keep on doing that. This lesson tonight is for Larry. And you'll see in a little bit why. The joy of trials. Go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I took some of this lesson as I was going through it. You know, I looked to my good friend, Mr. Google, and the closing remarks came off of another Christian lesson. The guy's name is Daryl Tucker. And I can't tell you where Daryl's from. But anyway, I've adapted and unadapted the outline so much to very little of the outline is his, but the closing remarks are. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." When you define joy as we define it, it's a feeling of great pleasure, great happiness. But the biblical joy is defined a little different from that. Biblical joy isn't like that happiness. It's based on whether things are going well or not. Joy remains even in the middle of suffering. Jack Wellman says, "Joy is an emotion that's acquired by the anticipation, acquisition, or even the expectation of something great or wonderful." The expectation of something great or wonderful. The expectation of heaven. The expectation of an eternity with God. So I have to ask a question. Do you have trials in your life? Let me ask the other side of that. Do you not have trials in your life? A trial I'm going through right now is my job. I'm ready to retire. Not just ready, I want to. But things have changed. And UPS says I'm not ready to retire. That I'm going to have to work 2 more years before I can retire. Now, how am I going to react? Am I disappointed? Yeah. Yeah, I'm disappointed. But now, am I going to mope around for 2 years? Be rude to every customer I come to? Have that don't care attitude? Just throw a package wherever I can? Kick all the dogs? Or am I going to keep doing my best? Be friendly, smiling, joking, having a good time with my customers, cheering them up, giving treats to their dogs. Consider it all joy, the expectation of something great and wonderful, the expectation of heaven, of an eternity with God. We have those here that'll be leaving for school, going away from mom and daddy for the first time. That's a big change. That's a huge change in your life. You don't have somebody to tell you, hey, you need to go to bed. Or you need to get up. Or you need to quit playing video games and study. You're going to have to make those decisions for yourself. My advice, don't forget who you are. Keep your head up and study hard. And there's going to be times, as much as you would love to get mother out of your hair right now, that you're going to miss mama. Consider it all joy, the expectation of something great and something wonderful, the expectation of heaven, the expectation of an eternity with God. We have a lot of young families in this congregation, raising children, raising small children. Do you not think that that's a trial? I'm not that old. I remember what that's like. I remember getting up in the morning after just a very few hours of sleep. Very few. You know what? I don't remember that so much now. Or I don't feel that zombie feel so much now. The trial of being consistent. Remember, it's a teamwork. It's a team effort. You and your spouse. You can do it. Keep going. Be consistent. I do remember, and I have told several of our young families here this, that I remember in the old building getting Ryan and Justin and Holly in that little green Toyota, the Pollywog, getting them buckled in, sitting down in the front seat, and looking at Kelly and say, I don't know why we even came today. I don't know why, but we kept coming. You keep on doing it. Consider it joy. The expectation of something wonderful and something great. The expectation of heaven and of an eternity with God. We have those in our congregation that are going through a trial with their health. Do you not think that Sister Malloy is going through a trial right now? She's hurting something terrible. Sister Sybil, a few weeks ago, I was talking to her and I said, how are you doing? She said, Larry, I'm hurting. But she said, I'm going to hurt if I sit at home. So I might as well come on up here with y'all and hurt here too. What an inspiration that is. What an example that is. I can remember Aunt Linnell telling me about Grandmama. And she would get up to go to worship service when she didn't have the energy to get up. That Sunday morning worship service, it would be Thursday before she got over it. But Aunt Linnell would help her get up and get her to worship service. She said that she was getting up and going to worship, if for nothing else than to show the devil whose side she was on. Consider it all joy. The expectation of something great and something wonderful. The expectation of an eternity with God. The expectation of heaven. So our trials, counting it joy. How do we do that? How do you go through pain and suffering and keep that upbeat? Keep that smile going. How? You have to strengthen yourself little by little. When you think of a boxer, how much training goes in before a boxer climbs in the ring? It's an everyday thing. They train, they work at it every day. I can tell you what a boxing match would be like without working at it every day. If you didn't work at being in shape and you got in the ring with somebody that was in shape, it's going to be a very short match. And you're going to be seeing a lot of stars before you get to stand back up. What about a runner? Start small and run farther every day. Lila's a long distance runner. I see her running out here all the time. I would not dare stop and run with her because she ain't got time to call 911 to come get me. But she starts small. She does it every day, preparing for that next long race. She works at it. What about a weightlifter? JT came home with a state champion weightlifting ring. State championship. That's a big thing. You think he just went down there and grabbed that bar and snatched it up? Didn't quite work that way. He was working at it. Years of preparation to work at that. So what about our Christian life? How are we going to do that? You know, it's a lifelong endeavor. Every day, getting stronger, little by little. The testing of our faith produces endurance. Gives the power to keep on. Keeping on, the willpower. To be tested, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to be tested, to make ourselves available, to be tested, to be put to that test. Living by faith, having a faith that can withstand trials, little by little. And you know what? Sometimes we're going to fall flat of our face. Probably a lot of times we are. Flat of our face. Ross just about preached my whole sermon tonight in his prayer. This is a flat on your face, no hands, nose in the dirt. Smack. That's how quick you fall. Don't blame others. You can't go, well, if he did this, she did this, and she said that. This is on Larry, right down there, nose first. Own it, take ownership. And while I'm down there, nose first, I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. Let him know I failed. I didn't make it. I'm going to ask him for strength, for endurance, for focus. But you know what? Sometimes in our trials, we make it. We get stronger. A yes moment. But remember in that yes moment where your strength comes from. Remember to be thankful. And remember to remain humble. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12 through 16, Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the words of faith, the words of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. So give your salvation, your faith, a workout. We're expected by God to work and to continue in our faith. James tells us in James 2, verse 17, faith without works is dead. Enduring trials produces maturity. Give your faith a real workout. Gain more spiritual maturity. Our Christian diet, are we still feeding on the milk and missing the meat? Or have we grown past the milk and taken the meat? And when we are going through trials, how do we respond? Do we quit? Throw in the towel? I'm done. Can't do it. Or do we see it as a testing of our faith? What about prayer? How often do we ask God to help us? To help us get through? Going through our trials, consider it all joy. The expectation of something great and something wonderful. The expectation of heaven, the expectation of an eternity with God. I want to talk just a few minutes about Peter, about Peter's faith. In Matthew chapter 14, in verse 27, this is the disciples were out on the water, and a storm had come up, and Jesus is out walking to them. They don't know what they're looking at. You got something out here walking on the water coming toward us. It's time to get a little concerned. Jesus said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and took hold of him and said, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, we beat Peter up about this. I've been guilty of it myself. Heard lessons preached on Peter's lack of faith. And there's lessons there. I can't deny that. But I have to keep asking myself the question. Peter's out in the water with Jesus. And Jesus has caught him and holding him up. And he says, tells Peter, says, why did you doubt? Where are the other 11? Still in the boat. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Now he looked past Jesus and said, whew, that is some kind of wave coming. And it's big. And he knew then when he started sinking, I'm in trouble. That's a little bit of faith. What's that say about the 11? At Christ's trial, Peter denies Christ 3 times. It's terrible. I'm telling you, that's not good. Where are the other 11? Well, Judas has hanged himself, so he's accounted for. But where are the other 10? So where are their, what does that say about their faith? It's not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbled, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at the best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. So my encouragement tonight to all of us, get out of the boat. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?